Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Hey, Penny.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you going? Good. We're good on this Monday morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hell yeah. Now, we're talking about Vogue and Anna Wintour leaving Vogue.
Yes.
Could you first tell us who is Anna Wintour?
So she's been the editor-in-chief at American Vogue for 37 years.
Wow.
Jeez.
Incredible.
Yep. And what is kind of quite amazing about her is that, you know, in this day and age where print has kind of had a massive decline, there are still 12 million people who purchase the magazine and 1.2 million people who read it online, which is a huge subscriber rate.
Wow.
Or reader rate.
Yeah, lots of money. Lots of money in it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's owned by Condé Nast, and Anna Wintour will still be the chief content officer. So whoever kind of replaces her will still probably answer to her, because she's kind of in charge of everything that's included in most magazines under Condé Nast. I think it's only one that she's not involved in, which is pretty huge, really. She held the title of editor-in-chief since 1988. She's said to be the character Miranda Priestly in the 2006 film The Devil Wears Prada.
Rumoured to be.
Yeah, which was written by a former assistant. And this is quite funny, but Anna wore Prada to the premiere, which I think is quite funny.
Oh my gosh.
That's actually now a musical that's been scored by Elton John. Crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, she always has worn sunglasses, and it's kind of like that's her kind of, I guess, item of flair, like I like to call it. And she says that it kind of protects her, and then I guess protects others from her icy stare. She's had the same bob for a million years, you know. She's known as the Queen of Fashion, but her nickname is Nuclear Wintour. So I think most people know Anna Wintour because she's in a lot of pop culture. I mean, she's... you know, her name is dropped in a lot of songs, things like that. No fashion show starts without her, and she has the best seat in the house. But that doesn't mean that, like, she's always on time. And if anyone else is late and holds up the show, like Kim Kardashian, she is, like, totally, I mean, nuclear, I guess, you know.
Totally. Well, how long, she's been part of Vogue for, like, 37 years. How long has Vogue been a magazine? Like, was there much Vogue before she got on board?
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. I can't actually remember. I have kind of done a history on it, but, you know, it goes in one ear and comes out the other. But there's been other amazing editors-in-chief before her, like Diana Vreeland was one who was quite amazing. But what's interesting about Anna is that US Vogue was always seen as being kind of like elite, and the clothes were very expensive. I mean, it hasn't actually changed that much, but they were really expensive. All the shots were always interior sets with lots of makeup and jewellery. And when she did her first cover in October 1988, the printers thought there had been a mistake and they checked to see if the cover was the right cover, because the model was outside and... although she was wearing a Christian Lacroix jacket, which is very expensive, she was wearing $50 Guess jeans. Ooh. And that was unheard of.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they were like, whoa, what the hell is going on here? And she also was the first person to kind of put a celebrity on the cover of Vogue. So Madonna was the first person she put on in her first year as editor-in-chief, because it was always models before that. And also... you know, it was slowly the rise of supermodels. Before that, it was people that were, you know, prior to her, were kind of paid models that you didn't really always know the names of. You know, that was like in the, you know, from the 70s on, it kind of came through. But she really kind of reinforced that. Harriet Walker from the Times, who's the Times fashion editor, said that Anna steered the title from glossy print editions featuring first fashion models, then grunge, via naughty celebrity culture and reality TV stars into an online era of social media and digital media. So primarily she was seen to have removed the elitism of fashion and made it more approachable. She helped the careers of many photographers like Annie Leibovitz, Stephen Meisel, and David Sims, also like Alexander McQueen and Marc Jacobs, kind of just growing those designers and really kind of supporting them. Here, she's also a trustee of the New York Metropolitan Museum, and her involvement has made the Met Gala one of the most high-profile fashion events. I mean, even if you think, oh, this is crazy because, you know, we should be focusing on other things, that's still quite a massive achievement to have turned it around. And the costume department at the museum has been renamed the Anna Wintour Costume Department since 2014. She's a staunch Democratic and a heavyweight fundraiser for Hillary Clinton and Obama. And I guess if you want an insight to her, I highly recommend watching the September issue, which is about, because the September issue is Vogue's biggest content. It has the most advertising in it every year. And the September issue film kind of focuses on how that edition's made. And it's quite a fascinating thing to watch her working. Also, you can watch the first Monday in May, which also kind of goes through how the Met Gala works. And watching her do the seating arrangement is pretty funny. Because when we see the Met Gala, we see the people walking the red carpet, but you never see actually what happens inside.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
no. That's what's quite interesting about it, you know?
Oh, like, very interesting.
Yeah, you still actually don't see what happens inside. You just see the preparation of what's happening inside. And originally the tickets for that were like $50, and now they're tens of thousands. Yeah, it's crazy.
So what does this mean for Vogue now that she's left?
Yeah, going forwards.
Well, there's quite a few people that are kind of touted to take over, and she'll probably have the say in who it is. The people, apparently there's only three people or women who have the clout, editorial experience and confidence. One is Amy Astley, who is the editor-in-chief of Architectural Digest, and she also helped launch Teen Vogue with Anna. The current editor-in-chief of British Vogue, also Kate Betts, who was a fashion news director at Vogue and then left for Harper's Bazaar, and now she's freelance. And then even Edward Enfield, who was British Vogue editor prior to Chioma, but he had a feud with Anna, and that's why he left. So it's not sure whether he'll be really a contender. There's also rumours that her daughter might take over, which is crazy.
Wow.
Wow, family dynasty. Family dynasty.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's incredible. I mean, she's obviously made some really good moves with Vogue because, you know, magazines aren't necessarily, they're kind of in a struggling era. And for Vogue to still be going that strong, she's clearly pretty switched on.
Yeah, her dad was actually, because she's British originally, he was the editor-in-chief of the London Evening Standard, and she grew up in the swinging 60s, so she was kind of at the zeitgeist of popular culture. And I think she didn't actually finish her degree, so in actual fact, it's her creativity that kind of, like, is really the key thing that got her foot in the door from the beginning, and I guess ambition. So she really, really wanted to be the editor of US Vogue, and had been the editor of British Vogue, but within 3 years was at US, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
Incredible. I mean, she's pretty inspiring, you know, as a girl boss out there making moves.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, like, you know, quite interesting because in the beginning, you know, she's always been called Nuclear Wintour. Her dad was called that too, apparently. And she never shows any emotion. And of course, it's that stereotype where people go, oh, you know, if you're a woman boss and you're like that, you're a bitch. And, you know, like, I don't know what she's really like. I mean, she's obviously got to be tough to be in that role.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would have been very difficult to be going through those years when it was predominantly male in that kind of magazine kind of industry, you know?
Totally. You had to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Fascinating woman, and it'll be fascinating to see how Vogue goes forward from this.
Totally, totally. See what happens. You know that that character? I'm thinking that character in the animated movie The Incredibles, the little short one.
Edna Mode.
Edna Mode. I don't know if that's based on
she's got the Anna bob. Wintour
or got the bob sort of interpretation.
She does actually. You say that, and I actually think, oh my god, I reckon she probably is like modeled off her a little bit.
Totally. Hey, thank you so much, Penny.
Thank you so much, Penny. That was a great chat. And we'll keep our eyes on Vogue.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Have a lovely day.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. That was an interesting fashion.
Yeah, talking great insight.
Talking all about Anna Wintour.
A texter here says that American Vogue was established in December 1892.
I thought it was really old.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so that's way old.
That's really old. Well, I guess, I don't know, it used to be the kind of leading, what would you call it, like publication for apparel.
True. Mm. Interesting
stuff. I think it's only right to follow that with a... I don't know why this song makes me think fashion.
Because it's by a very fashionable woman, maybe?
True. Blondie, with Atomic. She knows how to wear stuff.
And shout out to Atomic Coffee as well.
Exactly.
Oh, boom.
Boom.